This is the Tom Bigby Tales, and I'm your host, Shannon Evans. I write a small town in northeast Mississippi on the Tom Bigby River called Columbus, and sometimes I write about the rest of the state. Tonight's episode is called Cleaning Up Carpenter's Mess. Yesterday proved to be an interesting look at the world of Nancy Carpenter's chaos. I ran up to the courthouse for the Lowndes County Sports Hall of Fame Media Day, and who should I meet on the courthouse steps? Why, it was Nancy Luke Carpenter herself in a bright red, high-necked, frilly frock, talking to the Board of Supervisor and Sports Board President, Tripp Harston. I greeted both by name and got a warm greeting from Tripp, but if looks could kill, Nancy's would. We all went into the Board of Supervisors boardroom in the courthouse where WCBI, WTVA, Colin from the dispatch, and Pam from the packet were all ready. Nancy went straight to the board table and grabbed a seat close to the head as if she was part of the board. How interesting. What's most interesting is how Carpenter has no shame and swans about for the camera. But when it's time to roll up her sleeves and do actual work, she always disappears. For example, Nancy went to a community event at Columbus Air Force Base last week and stood there going on and on and on about herself and about the things that she thinks she's done, claiming credit for events she had nothing to do with. And of course, she brings up that she has the Dixie Butler donation for the Tennessee Williams statue and bench at her Columbus Cultural Foundation. But as we know, the artist is still wondering when Nancy plans to send him some of those dollars, that $75,000 she allegedly has socked away, to get started on the work now his studio is finished, just like they had all agreed upon. But as usual, Nancy's all talk and the money's location is still a mystery, just like the dollars for the state sign to commemorate the former hospital on Main Street where Tennessee Williams was allegedly born, now a bank. And that money, $15,000 plus, all mysteriously disappeared on Nancy's watch, never to be seen or talked about again. No sign was ever created or erected. But, of course, she was there for the photo op, and the money is never spoken of again after that. I see a pattern here. Carpenter, as my daddy would say, is all flash, no dash. Yesterday's April Columbus Convention and Visitors Bureau board meeting was interesting to say the least, too. The board realizes the Elks Club building is being ignored and underutilized, and the Children's Museum that Nancy always said she was in the process of creating and funding was never going to happen. I wonder if the Billups Foundation is going to come looking for the $25,000 they donated for the Children's Museum that doesn't exist. I wonder if any of the other grants offered will be looking for their money to be returned. The building requires significant roof and ceiling repairs at the moment, and the ceilings are leaking and the shingles are blowing off and possibly has had some storm damage from some heavy hailstorms we had. The fascia boards are rotten, or they're missing, and the gutters are bent, damaged, and also missing. They have to do something to protect this historic building, especially if they put it up for sale. Finally, they're talking about selling it. The board discussed further that it is important to get estimates, plural, for the repair work on the roof. Now, wait a minute. The new CVB director and CFO are keen to get more than one estimate. Now, that's a novel idea. This led to them discussing the issues they have with two parked double-decker buses that are not operable at the moment, too. They had no clue what was wrong with either 35-year-old plus buses, so I stood up and interjected my research that I did late last September on both buses and about their repair and ownership records from their previous lives in London, Edinburgh, and Galway, as well as their repair records after they came into our hands. I also told them who was their bus mechanic and where they were located at Waters Truck and Tractor, and that there's a list of details of all repairs, parts, and concerns kept on hand at Waters in their records. I emailed the board's president all of my research and the link to the podcast episode on the bus from late September, early October. The question is, for them, can the buses be repaired and sold, or do they need to sell them as is, or possibly part them out? Either way, money and time has to be spent investigating this issue and coming up with a plan to move forward. The buses were supposed to bring in money to the CVB via weddings and parties and event rentals, not cost them money. But Nancy Carpenter, with her board's approval, a much different board than is currently seated there today, bought a lemon and stuck it in the city's car barn bay and left the first bus to rot uncovered. And now both of them have sat for almost a year without being started, much less moved. And they're all both now exposed to the elements. The CVB will be lucky if they're able to sell them for more than scrap metal at this point. Just one more example of Carpenter's wasteful spending, lack of attention to detail, and lack of accountability. Perhaps the worst part of the April board meeting was the treasurer, Matt Bogue, refusing to hold Carpenter accountable or Exceed Technology accountable for wiping her CVB phone, laptop, and desktop computers clean. Compound that with Bogue not wanting to force Exceed to recover the data from those machines. He says they should just ask Nancy to hand over the files and the emails. Golly gee. Seriously? You trust her to do that? Carpenter has been seen burning files taken from her CVB office in her outdoor fireplace just this week alone. I don't think she's going to comply with Bogue's request. Why not go back to Exceed, who is paid monthly to back up the data for the CVB? Why not ask them for the files that they are already collecting on behalf of the CVB? What is Bogue helping Carpenter cover up? I don't know what, but I sure smell a rat. Let me give a simple example from the CVB's current budget and invoices to explain why it's critical they recover the emails and files from Carpenter's computers. Bills have been rolling in during the month of April. Nancy's last day was the 31st of March, 2024. And the 24 plus days since she was forced to retire, advertising bills have rolled in. All of these were committed by Carpenter before her departure without the knowledge of the board or the current directors. Carpenter appears to have spent or committed the entire year's marketing budget and then some before she left with 6 months left in the advertising budget calendar. Here are a few that we know of the dollar amounts committed as the invoices have arrived so far. Getaway Magazine April 2024 issue was requested at $1,450. Getaway appears to be a high-end magazine with its target market in South Africa. Please help me figure out how they're our target market. Number two, PowerPlay Marketing, the 2024 NFL Tennessee Titans yearbook, $3,000. I'm sure she got tickets as a kickback for that one. Number three, PowerPlay Marketing 2024, University of Alabama football program, $4,900. I'm sure that's another one where she gets tickets as kickbacks. Mississippi Magazine, May, June 2024 issue, $1,495. This leaves less than $1,500, yes, $1,500 in the CVB marketing budget that is supposed to last until the 1st of October of 2024 when the new budget kicks in. Because Carpenter wiped her computer clean, the board nor the current director or CFO of the CVB have any idea what is on the ads. What do they look like? What are they even advertising? Who is the point of contact that was made to set up the ads? What are the work orders or the scope of future and additional related commitments? In other words, more bills to these vendors. Upon closer examination, there are also three ad designs created and billed on April 2nd, 2024 by Snapshot Publishing that appear to be future ads for one, Progress Magazine, a local, I think it's a quarterly magazine produced by the Commercial Dispatch. Two, the Local Palette Magazine, which is a high-end dining magazine in Charleston, South Carolina. A one-third page ad that runs once in their magazine costs $3,500. A full page ad is $7,000 for a one-time ad. Then the other one, Hemisphere Magazine. This is United Airlines in-flight magazine. Ads in their magazine range from a 1/6 of a page ad for $18,000 that appears in one issue to $67,000 for a full page interior ad that runs one time in Hemisphere's magazine with United Airlines. This is shocking to think Carpenter has committed the Columbus Convention and Visitors Bureau to at least $18,000 in future bills that are not on the current ledger sheet for a single magazine ad without any knowledge, much less required approval from the board. None. This is why the CVB must retrieve those files and emails Carpenter wiped off her computers. This is why Carpenter is not to be trusted. This behavior is why the CVB must not continue funding the Columbus Cultural Cultural Foundation if they insist on keeping Carpenter as their director. She is not to be trusted, is fiscally irresponsible, and an incredibly vindictive person who has a long history of incompetence in Columbus, Mississippi. The CVB board should feel obligated to the taxpayers who fund them to retrieve Carpenter's erased files at Exceed Technologies so they can stop reacting to the messes she has made and start acting proactive. They owe it to our community after the 14 plus years that the CVB board has insisted on allowing Carpenter to behave so recklessly, spending our money on all these expensive, failed boondoggles that she's so fond of. I want to thank you for coming to the Tom Bigby Tales. Until next time.